about making disciples, because you want everybody in this area to know the gospel is for all. Thank you for your interest in the gospel tonight, for coming and for supporting the brethren here who have worked hard for this week, and you've encouraged them as you have me. I want to read from Luke the 15th chapter, and I want to invite you to open in your Bible and read with me. We're going to read just the first two verses, and then we're going to read the end of the chapter. But by the time we're finished tonight, we will have discussed what comes in between. Because Luke puts bookends in this chapter about how God sees those who are lost. And if we're ever going to make disciples and make the mission of Jesus our mission, we're going to have to start seeing the lost the way God does. And so Luke tells us in Luke 15 and verse 1, all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." All right, now skip to verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "My child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." One of the things we used to describe Jesus, even though it's never specifically said this way in the scriptures, is master teacher. Now, he is called master and he is called teacher, but we put those together and say he's the master teacher, and he was. And we don't say that about Jesus because he did things that make preachers popular. In our day, Jesus never promised anyone financial freedom if they would come and follow him. He didn't have a music ministry that accompanied him. And before he came out to preach, they warmed up the crowd. Jesus did not entertain people with after-dinner stories or motivational speeches. The thing that people noticed about Jesus that was different is that he taught with authority. And well, he should, for he authored the message. And by this time, he was well accustomed to criticism. They were saying all things about Jesus. They didn't deny that he did a miracle. They just said, "Oh, he did it by the power of the devil." They called him a drunkard, a gluttonous man. But there's one thing they said about Jesus that they actually got right. They said, "He's the friend of sinners." Aren't you glad he is? He still is the friend of sinners. Here, there were people who were coming to Jesus for spiritual healing. And you would think the religious leaders would be rejoicing about that. But notice it said that they were grumbling. They were complaining, this man is receiving sinners. He's supposed to be God. He should know the kind of people these are. And so Jesus really told three parables here. The master teacher told three parables to show you better start seeing them like God does. I made sure when I sent my subjects this week to Tom, I even explained. I said, now, Monday night is not a typo. I didn't miss the K and mean to say seeking the lost. Because we will not seek the lost until we first see the lost as Jesus does. Preacher was going for a lectureship and they wanted to know his subject to put on the announcement. And so he sent, I'm going to preach on be aware of the lost. Well, guess what got printed and passed out? Beware of the lost. And that's how we are sometimes. But how will we ever make the mission of Jesus who said, I came to seek and save the lost. How could he seek them if he did not see them? We will not make that our mission until we first see the lost through the eyes of heaven. And so would you consider with me these three parables that will help us to understand how God sees the lost. The first thing I want you to see is that God sees the lost as straying sheep of His pasture. Sheep that He wants back in the safety of His fold. And so Jesus told this first parable in verse 3. What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You know, as Americans, we read that first parable and we see it through the lens of a business owner. And we say 1% loss. What's the big deal? He had 100 and he only lost one. He still has 99. That's pretty good business. But this was not a business transaction. This was a shepherd who loved his sheep, who knew them, who named them. And they heard his voice and followed him. He would lead them to green pastures and to quiet waters. He would inspect them as they passed under his rod to see if they had sores that needed to be anointed with oil. He protected them with his own life when the wolf came to seek and destroy. This was not business. This was his whole life. And so just one sheep, he will go seek and find it. God sees the lost as His sheep that are strayed. And He says, I want him back. I want him back in the safety of my fold. Do you remember when Jesus in the great shepherd passage, John 10, when he made the statement, I am the good shepherd, and compared himself to this profession that they were familiar with. But in that same passage, he said in verse 16 of John 10, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice and shall become one flock with one shepherd. God sees the lost as His sheep that have strayed away from Him. And He doesn't see them like we do. We see them as well at their own stupidity. They wandered away. Oh, they were looking for greener pastures. They wandered through a hole somewhere. They deserve to be lost. Well, God doesn't see them that way. He says, that's my sheep. And I'm going to go find him and bring him back. Matthew 9 and verse 36, what is it that motivated Jesus to show compassion on the crowds? These people who were always pressing in on him. Sometimes they didn't want what he was saying. They just wanted to be healed. They thought maybe he'll give us food. Well, why didn't he send them away? Why didn't he lash out at them? Because it said they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. And he came to be their shepherd. Because God sees the lost as his straying sheep. His desire is that all men be saved. That all come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to think about that the next time you're throwing your pity party for why you didn't get what you want. Or you don't have everything in your life the way you want it to be. Even God does not get everything He wants. Because He wants everyone to be saved. And some say, I'd rather be lost. But He will still seek them to bring them back to the safety of His fold. In Ezekiel 34 and verse 11, He speaks and rebukes the leaders of Israel for not being the kind of shepherds they were supposed to be to His people. And so He told them, I will be the shepherd. And here's what He would do for them. I will search for them and seek them out. I will bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. You know what we say about them? Let them be lost. Why do you think in organizing the local church that God did not give qualifications to appoint CEOs who just see the money? Nor did He give qualifications for cowboys who would drive the cattle. But He called them shepherds who would care for His sheep, who would tenderly watch over them and protect them and seek to bring them to the chief shepherd. And sometimes we're amazed at how patient shepherds are in the local church. And we say, well, they should just withdraw from him. Why are they so patient with him? Why do they keep letting him do that? Because it's not a business transaction to them. Yes, discipline is necessary and it has its purpose, but only after we've exhausted every alternative. For the shepherd, it's their sheep. And they're accountable to God. And they want them back in the safety of His fold. And we would do well to remember when we look out over the lost and see them, we would do well to remember that Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all wandered away. We've all thought we had the better way. But thanks be to God, we've returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. How does God see the lost? As His sheep. Somebody responds to the invitation and they come to the front What's our first thought? Oh, I wonder how long this one's going to last. Oh, they probably need money again. They just never can get it together. You know what the angels are doing? Rejoicing. Because that's what the shepherd's doing. We will not seek the lost until we see them as God's sheep. Number two, we will not seek the lost until we see them as God does. Souls that are precious. Souls that are dying. Verse 8. What woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You might have a note in your margin of your Bible about this coin. It was the Greek drachma is the word that is used, which was similar to the Roman denarius. It would have been one day's wage. But the point of the parable is not the single value of the one coin, but the set of 10. You say, well, I wouldn't tear my house upside down to try to find a coin. Well, would you do it if it was your wedding ring? Does that have a little more sentimental value to you than just what it's worth in gold? And that's probably what Jesus is talking about. A set of 10, which might have been a wedding dowry. She may have worn it as a necklace or a headband, strung them all together. And so to lose just one of them, still got 9, but just to lose one, that would have been precious to her for what it meant to her. And so she will search carefully until she finds it. God sees the lost, every single soul, as someone precious to Him. Since my son David started playing baseball at 5 years old, I've been involved coaching his teams. And I learned pretty quickly when we started that I lead a pretty sheltered life. Most of the young people that I am around, either at Southside or at the FC camp that we work each summer, all of those kids have a respect for authority. They've been raised to show respect to your elders. Well, not so with kids in Little League. And I remember early on, we had just batted and we were about to go out on the field. A bunch of 5 and 6 year olds in the dugout. And I said, okay, everybody get your gloves and hats. We got to get on the field. And one little boy was sitting on the end of the bench and looked up at me and said, "Be quiet." Fortunately, I got out on parole just in time for the meeting this week. But you know what restrained me? He's precious to God. He has a soul. Every single soul is precious. And that goes for lost people. We read about God's patience in the Old Testament, about how with the children of Israel, how they complained and murmured, and they didn't appreciate what He did for them, and they forgot, and they served other gods and idols. And we read that and we say, why didn't He just wipe them out? It's because they're precious to Him. Every single one of them, everyone, every soul was precious to Him. We read about Jonah preaching to the people of Nineveh a place so wicked that it said their sins had risen up as an aroma to God on His throne. And so He sent the prophet to say, 40 days I'm coming to destroy you. And they listened to the preaching of Jonah. And do you know what the greatest miracle in that whole book is? They repented and God forgave them. He forgave them. The people who carried away His own children with hooks in their jaw to captivity. He forgave them. People who would cut out the children of pregnant women to destroy them. He forgave them. God forgave them. Why would He do that? Because they were precious to Him. He didn't want them to be destroyed. When they repented of their sins, He changed His mind about what He was going to do. And you know what we do? We sit up there on the hill like Jonah with our arms crossed and say, why don't they get what they deserve? We will not seek the lost until we see them as souls that are precious. Souls that are dying. You mean even that person who's standing in line in front of me at Starbucks, and they got tattoos from the crown of their head to the sole of their foot, piercings everywhere. You mean even that person? They're precious to God. You mean that person who is of a different religion than I am, or maybe no religion at all? They're precious to God. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we just say, oh, it's a lost cause. It's because we don't see them like God sees them. And that's why we're not seeking them. God sees them as precious souls that are dying. And He's given us the knowledge of the cure that will save their soul. How does God see the lost? Strange sheep of His pasture. Souls that are precious. Souls that are dying. And number three, He sees them as children away from home. His children who are away from home. Verse 11, and He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they begin to be merry. There is near the church building at Southside a Burger King where we'll sometimes go for lunch during the day. And Brother Bowman and I were sitting there one day by the window where we could see people coming out of the drive-thru. And we just started making a game out of watching people because it didn't matter by the time they passed our window, whether they were buckling their seatbelt or passing something in the back, every one of them already had a fry hanging out of their mouth. They couldn't wait. And that's how this boy was. He didn't want to wait for his dad to die or be dying and divide the estate. He said, give me my share. And as soon as he got it, he left. He went out and spent everything. He had in his mind, as soon as I'm away from home, life will finally be what I want it to be. And when he had spent everything at rock bottom, this little Jewish boy is feeding the poster child for uncleanness in Israel. And he comes to himself and comes to a decision. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Just let me be a hired servant. Now, the hired servant was the lowest class of servant. That's the one that just day to day, if I have something for you to do, you can work today. I can't promise you tomorrow, but you can do something today. Just make me as one of your hired men. You know, the other two parables start with what man among you, if he had this, or what woman among you. Did you notice Jesus didn't start the third one by saying, and what father among you? Because no father would do what this father did. I don't mean that we wouldn't welcome our children back, but it'd be after the lecture, wouldn't it? My sisters and I had a German shepherd growing up that we went out to play with one day, and he was nowhere to be found. And we looked in all the places where he might be. We even took my mom, who hated this dog, to drive around and look for it. And my sister Christy and I were sitting in the back seat of the car, and we were saying to our, we were mad, and we said, when that dog gets home, he's gonna get the biggest whooping he's ever got. And when it got dark, Mom called off the search party, and so we were in tears at this time, and we drove up to the house, and the headlights of the car caught his eyes. He was sitting there probably wondering where we were. And so my sister and I got out of the car and we went over to him. And do you honestly think we spanked that dog? Jesus said, the Father saw him a long way off. And he ran to him. And embraced and kissed him. And the son started his speech that he had prepared. And the father said, you're not going to be a servant. I'm going to put a robe on you and sandals on your feet and a ring on your hand. These were all signs of sonship. And we're going to kill the fattened calf. Probably had been prepared just for this day. And we're going to celebrate because that which was dead is now alive again. That which was lost has been found. God sees the lost as His children. He wants them back. And what did the brother call him? this son of yours. You ever noticed how we can easily tell another parent what they ought to do with their kids? And the reason is simple. It's not our kid. Well, I tell you what, you ought to kick him out. Well, that's easy for me to say. It's not my son. I tell you what, you better just cut her off. Well, I can say that because it's not mine. This son of yours, the brother said. The father said, you better start seeing him as your brother. What about that homosexual? They need to be taught what the Bible says. But they're still your brother, created in the image of God. And you better treat them that way and see them that way. Well, what about that lady who believes in abortion? She needs to understand what the Word of God says. But she's still your sister, created in the likeness of God. And we won't seek her until we see her that way. God sees them as His children. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. 1 John 3 and verse 1. We should want that love of the Father bestowed on all, even the lost, that they would be recreated in the likeness of Jesus Christ. God sees the lost. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Lord, Thou hast here Thy 99. Are they not enough for Thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark the night that the Lord passed through, ere He found His sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert, He heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. But all through the mountains, thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back His own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back His own. Let's see them through the eyes of heaven and seek them so He can save them. The dead can be made alive, the lost found, and we can celebrate as the host of heaven rejoices. I guess Brother Jones had it right after all. The gospel is for all. Is he calling you home tonight? Maybe you've wandered far away. Maybe it's time for you to come home. Jesus offers the invitation to all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, know that we're ready to celebrate with you as the angels around the throne of God over one sinner who repents. Make it known right now while together we stand, while we sing.